Okay, Dave, I should check. Are you ready to go into the second one before I begin with the intro?
Yes, ready, Commissioner. Okay.
All right, thank you. All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-20-426. It is 2:02 p.m. on Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosches, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
No opening comments.
Commissioner Christman?
No.
Okay, also from staff on this particular informal, we have Pat Fawn, Adam Renfent, Brian Johnson, and Victor Shook. This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. Same as last time, the applicant goes first in this type of proceeding. But before beginning, we've introduced the folks on our end, Mr. Cedarquist. I don't know if you have the same individuals, but could you please introduce your staff members again?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, my name is Dave Cedarquist, a regulatory consultant with Xcel Energy. We will now present the primary points of our RER rider update, and with me is Benj Halama, manager of the revenue analysis and also a witness in our pending rate filing. Also with us is Darren Schottler, director of regional capital projects. He is available if there are specific questions regarding the wind projects that we'll be talking about, and of course Matt Harris, assistant general counsel, is also with us to provide legal support. As with the TCR presentation, we also have a number of the same team members on the line who performed the analysis and could be available to get information as well. So that's our team. And if you'd like, Commissioner, I can begin the presentation.
Please do. Thank you.
And before I do that, I would like to just call attention to the fact that just last week we filed an addendum to our original October 15th RER rate petition. In that addendum, we reduced the 2021 RER revenue requirement by about $148,000. This revision was a result of discussions that we had with staff. It reflects the removal of forecasted project expenditures that exceed the budget cap for the self-build group of wind projects that was agreed to in our last AD settlement. That was case number PU-17-120. Essentially, staff indicated that they believed a general rate proceeding would be the appropriate venue for making a showing that these above cap expenditures are reasonable and prudent. So we're comfortable with that approach, and we have thus removed from our 2021 RER petition those expenditures, and we will seek approval for them in the pending base rate proceeding. So the numbers that we are presenting this afternoon reflect this $148,000 adjustment. Again, I'll just start off with a brief summary of the RER tariff, which essentially qualifies the kinds of projects and costs that can be included in the RER. Here again, I'll draw your attention to the second bullet. Has more relevance this year because, like with the TCR projects, we do intend to roll over into base rates the revenue requirements associated with 7 wind projects that are currently being recovered in the RER. And again, that transition will occur after the conclusion of the pending rate case, when final rates go into effect. Again, late summer would be sort of an estimated timeline for that. And Benj can provide more detail on that process as well. In 2020, our 2021 RER is the 6th year that we've this rider has been in effect. To recover in North Dakota our owned and previously approved renewable facility costs. We are proposing to add one new project in 2021, and that will bring the total to 9 wind projects that are being covered in the rider. total annual requirement for 2021 is about $13.3 million, and that's $4.5 million of an increase over the 2020 amount. Benj will provide a further breakdown of that change in a few minutes. As we did in the 2020 RER rate, we have incorporated our levelized PTC treatment that was approved by the commission last year, whereby the production tax credits generated in the first 10 years of a project's operation are now being evenly distributed throughout the life of the project and to the customers being served throughout the life of the project, each project. We estimate that the typical residential monthly charge, RER charge, in 2021 will be approximately $4.68. That's about $1.25 more than the current RER charge. And again, I will hand it over to Benj to go into a little more detail on the projects and the change in the proposed rate.
Thanks, Dave. So as Dave stated, my name is Benjamin Halama, and I'm the manager of regulatory analysis. This next slide here goes through the rate history of the RER rider. As you can see, the rate for 2016 through 2019 is relatively low, and in 2020 that rate increased. There are new wind projects that went into service in 2020 that's driving that difference. But the largest driver of that difference is, as Dave mentioned earlier, the implementation of the PTC levelization that caused additional amounts to be recovered here in the RER rider. One note on that is that's generating a regulatory liability, and it serves as an offset to rate base in our filed rate case. If you switch to the next slide, Dave, this slide here compares our 2020 revenue requirements to the 2021 request. Starting from the top, the in-service projects from 2015 to 2019 are decreasing slightly year over year. The projects in service in 2020 increased significantly between the 2 years. The majority of that increase is due to the fact that we now have a full year of those projects in service. And so that's where the increase is coming from. In 2021, or the projects in service in 2021, this includes one new project, so Dakota Range. It also includes Freeborn, which was delayed. The initial in-service date for that project was end of 2020. It has now been moved to early 2021. So that's driving the increase in 2021. Moving up to the production tax credits, and so we have a large increase in production tax credits that are offsetting the revenue requirement here, strictly due to the additional wind farms production during 2021 and the new wind farms in 2021. And then the last piece here is the true-up adjustment, and so in last year's petition, there was little to no true-up adjustment from 2019. We do have an over-collection from 2020 due to some of the delays that I already mentioned, and that's offsetting the revenue requirement for 2021. So that drives the total increase of the net increase of $4.5 million. On the next slide, we list out all of the various projects that are being included. I'm wondering if my end is frozen up. Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you advance to the next slide, please? So this slide, maybe not the next one. Slide six, yep. So this lists out all the projects included in the RER rider. As Dave mentioned, with the rate case, we would propose to roll items or projects 1 through 7 on this list into final rates, but during this interim period, they will be collected through the RER rider. And as I already mentioned, the Freeborn Wind Project, as it shows here, is going into service in March of 2021. That project was originally planned for December of 2020, as noted at the bottom of this slide.
Say, Mr. Chairman and Bench, I have a question about how you decided which projects to roll into the rate base. I can kind of understand the older ones, but I thought the reason why the commission instituted this or went along with this renewable energy rider or supported it when it first was created for this type of project was because it allows, because the costs are high on the front end and then go down over time, and it allows the decreased revenue requirements of these to be reflected more contemporaneously in rates, so customers aren't, you know, paying a rate set at a high level for the capital costs, and then the company is collecting at that level, but while the revenue requirements are going down over time. So some of these projects are just going into the rider this month, and you're suggesting to put them into rate base already in the next rate case. So I'm just curious what you think of the logic I just outlined, if you think that's one of the rationales for the rider, and how this does or doesn't still reflect that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think from the company standpoint, we look at a given year, and so we chose the end of 2020, because that's a relatively reasonable length of time to estimate when projects were going in service and really capture some of the potential changes in some of these projects. And so the rider allows for true-ups that benefit both customers and the company. And so, if a project is delayed, the rider can pick up those pieces and true them up. Once a project goes into service, yes, over time, the revenue requirement for a given project will decline. But generally speaking, we have other projects that are being constructed at the same time that might not be included in a rider that would cover some of those differences. I think, there could be a reason to keep them in the rider on a go-forward basis. We're proposing to roll them in here since we would have captured most of the kind of construction variability of the projects in the true-up phase of the rider. But then it simplifies the rider on a go-forward basis because you don't have a huge list of projects included in the rider.
Yeah. All right. Well, it doesn't really impact this rider because they're going to be in it for this time, but it is probably something we'll have to work through on the rate case.
This is Victor from staff. So I understand the points you're making. It is consistent with how other assets are treated. I mean, the one positive about the method of PTC levelization we're doing is it makes this look like any other resource that you put into the system. So a transmission line, distribution assets, they will be treated the same and act the same from a cost basis if they're moved into base rates. Well, I guess even in the rider, but when we had PTCs running for 10 years and in year 11, all of a sudden the companies are showing up for rate cases because they're losing $20 million of revenue. That won't happen because of these assets anymore. The company mm-hmm. will have this kitty that's been built up, and they're not going to have a big drop off in revenues on that year 11.
Right. But if they're building these projects and the costs are higher on the early years,
yep.
and then they fade.
Yep, they just kind of gradually fade away, and I'm just not doing a good job of explaining what's happening, but a transmission line would act identical to this. So if the company was building $1 billion worth of transmission lines instead of $1 billion worth of wind farms, their cost that would be in base rates or in the transmission rider would be similar over time.
Yeah.
They would start out higher and then gradually decrease as the depreciation reduces rate base and therefore reduces the company's return.
And the depreciation or amortization schedule, that remains the same whether they're in base rate, these assets, or whether they're in the rider, is that correct?
Correct, depending, unless the commission would change it for some reason.
Right, and then the levelized PTC approach, that remains consistent as well.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this was a concept explained to me by Mike Diller in the early years of my, and as a justification for the renewable energy rider.
Oh, sure.
So, it's anyway, we can talk through it in the
It is a benefit. I don't disagree that it's one of the benefits of riders, provided you leave assets in riders forever. My other argument to that is riders are more beneficial to companies than ratepayers because it gives the company more certainty and sooner collection of the money they've spent. So,
right, unless the rates are set at the higher level and then they're collecting a rate based on what they needed 3 years ago and now they're not needing that anymore.
Correct. Correct. But they might have to wait 2 or 3 years to start collecting that versus a rider, the longest period from when they've spent to when they can start collecting is 11 months.
Sure. Okay.
So
you're acknowledging the point, but you're saying that the levelized PTCs at least partially offset the importance of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thank you. That was it for me, Bench. Sorry.
Nope. Dave, so I think we can go to the last slide then. And so similar to the TCR rider, we've provided the implementation dates of January 1 and February 1, just for reference. So in the bottom line, the estimated customer bill impact on under a January implementation would be $4.68. Under a February 1 implementation date, $4.82, so an increase of 14 cents. That's all the prepared remarks I have. Definitely open to any questions for Dave, myself, or during.
Okay, thank you. Can you give me just a little bit more on the megawatt hour sales dropping by roughly, 10%? COVID related? Oh, no, you know what? Never mind. That's just a change in the timing.
Right. Yeah, the month of January, the megawatt hours are pulled out in February.
Yeah.
Collected over the next 11 months.
I do have another question. Dave, you had mentioned the pending rate case on several occasions, and you had talked about late summer. But just doing the quick math on it, we have, 7 months to complete a rate case? It was filed beginning of November-ish, which would mean toward the end of May, beginning of June, or is there?
Yeah, no, the law says we have 7 months. The company, if the company agrees in a joint filing to extend that date, we have gone beyond it in the past.
Do you anticipate late summer, Victor?
That might be a little ambitious as far as, being done by within the 7 months. We certainly try our best to, get it done as quickly as possible. But there's just, in order to allow all parties to have ample time for testimony and rebuttal and discovery requests.
And then maybe it's what you're referring to, Dave, is implementation date, not
typically there's a delay after the order too before rates can be implemented. So but it was just an estimate, Commissioner. We've gone longer and so I was just trying to provide just some estimate. Yep.
Okay. No, fair enough. Victor, do you have? Oh, Commissioner Chrisman.
Well, let the commissioners finish their questions, then I have some things.
On page 12 of the application, and I'm talking about the original October 15th application. You talk about the additional PTC recovery that you're going to get. And in the middle of there, it mentions following changes to the IRS guidance in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Then later on, you mention that it's through the work you have done to make the project eligible. And I'm just wondering how much is which. To what extent is it just lucky that the IRS became more generous? And then what exactly did you do based on that generosity to qualify these?
I can address it quickly, and then if anybody else has anything more to add to that, definitely feel free to jump in. And so it is a combination of both. And so the IRS did extend that guidance, so that continuous work period, they extended it one additional year that allowed us to then, you know, look across our entire fleet. And so we had to show that we started work and had continuous work over the entire period of time. And so we were able to take components from other wind farms and utilize those at the Coda Range, which then allowed us to qualify for that starting work and continuous work time period so that we could qualify for the additional PTC credits without impacting those other projects and their PTC credits.
So you just took some components from one project, moved over and did a little work on the other project, and then they were both under continuous construction. That was a question. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then my other question, regarding the protected data, when I was going to review that, my understanding was that it had changed with the revised application, and that when the protected data came for that one, there was some error or something that really wasn't in there. And so has that been filed yet, or when will it be filed?
I believe that we have, that was an area, right, but the envelope was packaged with the wrong public version. So I believe that has been refiled.
Okay.
Perhaps,
It's been kind of a busy, hectic day. I haven't had a chance to check again since, but I just wanted to confirm that it was either here or was on the way. So.
Okay.
Thank you. That's my questions.
Okay.
No questions.
You're hard to see back there.
I know.
Yeah, Julie, our Commissioner Fedorchuk is lurking behind me. Victor.
So I just want to touch on the reduction in the revenue requirements. As Dave kind of said, that was based on a discussion him and I had about the tariff language for the rider and the settlement agreement that we had for the ADPs. The tariff language requires projects to receive an advanced determination of prudence before they're eligible for collection. Our settlement specified that the projects are prudent up to the cap amount. It does not necessarily say the amounts in excess of the cap are imprudent, but they are not given an advance prudence. So with the language from those two combined, to me that said the amounts in excess of the cap cannot go through the rider regardless of whether we think they're prudent or not. So the appropriate place to determine prudence of the addition of the amounts in excess of the cap would be in the rate case that's pending. So...
Isn't that what their revised submission does?
Yes, it is. So I appreciate that the company agreed to take that out without having to go through some formal time-consuming process. And then it will also give us a better opportunity to review those additional costs as part of that rate case to make sure we actually think they're prudent rather than me taking a little bit of time to look at some spreadsheets and saying, yep, all good to go. We can take a more thorough analysis of it. So I'm happy with how that has come out. I did, you know, the company's supplemental filing was relatively recent, and even more recent was the my receipt of the trade secret version of that those documents. So just in the last couple of days here, Dave and I have exchanged some mails and had some phone discussions. I'm still working through myself a little bit of kind of that supplemental information. I'm largely okay with the version that they filed, but I would just like a couple more days to kind of finish my review of it to make sure we're advocacy staff is comfortable with everything. And if we are not, we would certainly make a filing of some sort, saying stating as such.
You know, I have a question, and it ties back to when we've granted ADPs for wind projects in particular, but going back to the, 1850 portfolio or 1852.4, whatever the exact number was, we've always talked about the company has presented, here's the cost, but here are the energy savings. Do you have any type of energy savings figure that would tie to these resources? Because all ratepayers see is, and it's an easy comment to make, well, my rates went up by almost $5 a month because of all of these renewable energy projects, which, you know, we talk about and the company talks about the energy savings. And it's easy just to say, well, your rates just went up by $5, so I guess they weren't such a good deal after all. But so if the rider goes up by $4.68, what does that equate to? Because you had those numbers in terms of energy savings. How does that tie together? Or how can we tie it together?
Well, I mean, I'll respond first to that, and others can jump in. It's a good question, Commissioner, and we've actually been working a little bit to try to figure out how to show that. It's not easy to tie it directly to certain projects. We have gone back, for example, and looked at our fuel cost rider in North Dakota, and we can show that there have been reductions in recent years in the cost of fuel. So we have that information, but it's something that's it's not as simple of a calculation as you might think it should be. So we continue to kind of look for ways to be able to show that. We know it's an important part of demonstrating what we're trying to do here. So
yeah, I still think though you gave us a number to sell us, so to speak, on these projects, and said, here are the energy savings, projected energy savings. And while it might not be down to the last penny, I would have to think you could get fairly close in terms of, you tied those numbers together to get approval. Now I'd like to see the numbers tied back to these projects, at least generally speaking, an approximation that it's, $5 to $6 a month or whatever it is in energy savings for an average customer.
This is Victor from staff. I would imagine they can come up with some kind of estimate. The problem with when we talk about savings in an ADP proceeding, it's not your bill was this and it's going to go down to this. The savings are relative to the alternatives. So let's say a wind farm was supposed to save $10 million for North Dakota customers. To verify that $10 million is nearly impossible because that was compared to a future that now no longer exists. I mean, in reality, that's what it turns out to be. So I think you can come up with some approximations. Maybe you could pretend So you know what actually happened, you know what those costs were. You could say, okay, I'm going to recalculate what the fuel cost rider and the renewable rider would have been without these projects based on what market rates were. It's not necessarily exactly what the alternative comparison was, but I think it's probably about as close as you can be. I don't know if, Dave, if you kind of agree with that method of finding what the savings were.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's reasonable, Vic. And we continue trying to determine the best way to demonstrate that the savings are actually occurring. We'll go back and take another look at that, Commissioner, and see what we can provide. But it's a valid question, and if we can figure out a good way to at least demonstrate that savings are occurring, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I would just like to see something substantive, because if not, it would really make me think twice about the next time an ADP came in and here are these wonderful savings, knowing that you really can't quantify it once the project's on the ground anyway. So I would like something, generally speaking, that's at least an approximation where I've got a feel for it. So I appreciate that.
Thinking about the word savings, we're never saving anything. It's a lower cost.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm not a big fan when we use that savings, even though we use it everywhere. We're not. That's like saying I went and bought a new TV because it was on sale. I saved 50% off, but I bought a TV.
Well, let's change the way we talk about it then. I'm fine with that.
Sure. Sure.
Well, yeah, that is a really important point, Victor, and one that I don't think that customers hear, because they are constantly told that this stuff is cheaper and it's going to save them money. And the piece that's not explained well, and it's not the easiest thing to explain, is that compared to what you'd have to replace it with, it's cheaper. But they're not going to be paying less. They'll still be paying more, just not as much more as compared to other resources. But the utilities, NSP is no different than the rest of them. None of them explain that in their communications. So I do think it's going to come back, though, for the industry as a whole. It's going to be really hard to start justifying things to customers, because they've been told they're going to save all this money, and the reality is the costs are going to go up and up and up and up and up here before long as renewable penetration rises, and I think it's going to be hard for customers to understand what's going on. So they haven't been told this.
And that's where the problem with that word comes from is, well, you told me I'm going to save money, and how come I'm paying more money?
Yeah.
And I don't
we all have to deal with this.
I don't care how it's phrased, but I just to be able to to show that without them, you would have paid X amount more.
Right.
Okay. Commissioner Crispin, you look like you're ready to dive right in.
No, I just have a lot of things I could say on that subject, but I think enough has been said. A lot of other examples where that kind of thing happens.
Yeah. No, but I think it's fair to try and figure this out. And if this is one of the first times that we do it after the fact, so be it. But it would be a good thing. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Anything more for me?
Okay, Pat, Adam, or Brian, do you have anything?
Oh, this is Pat. I have no questions.
Okay. Brian, any questions?
No questions.
Okay, thank you. And Adam, I don't know if you can, if you're on, do you have any questions if you are?
No questions for me. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
Jerry is here. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, Jerry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I have no questions. I just wanted you guys to You missed me in the attendance committee roll calls.
Okay, I apologize for that. So we have Jerry Lean from staff as well, who has been participating. Mr. Cedarquist, Dave, do you have anything else?
No, that concludes our comments.
Okay.
Commissioners, Jerry again. You know, I did have one question. As we were going through the slides, we were back in about the second or third one. I can't tell because they're not numbered here. It was a comparison of how the rates have gone. There it is, over the last few years. And why in the last couple of years have they jumped so much when the megawatt hour sales didn't seem to change? All of a sudden our rate is just, they're higher than they used to be.
So I can address that one, Dave. My signal is kind of going in and out, so sorry if this gets choppy. Dave, you'll have to step in if so. And so the megawatt hour sales that we're showing here are the total that we use to set the rate. And so that part is holding fairly constant based on our forecasted sales over this period of time. The increase in 2020 and 2021 is largely due to the levelization of PTCs. And as I stated, that's a rate-based offset in our rate case, as well as on slide 6, where we show the new wind farms. And so in 2019, there was 2 new wind farms added. 2020, there's 3 new wind farms. And then in 2021, 2 more new wind farms. And so the combination of the PTC levelization as well as those new wind farms coming online is really what's driving that annual revenue requirement up.
Okay. I think I got that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate the question. Good question. All right. I think, again, Mr. Cedarquist, anything else?
Nothing else. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. Then the handout, as well as the audio recording of this proceeding, is now considered evidence. Are there any objections to this evidence becoming a part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached? Mr. Cedarquist?
No objections.
No objection from staff.
Okay, thank you. Then the evidence as presented will now become a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. I don't believe there are any other matters related to this case, this informal hearing. So I appreciate everyone's time. We are adjourned. Thank you.